Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Oh, Gaurahari. 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 Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopirana Vallabha Girivaradhari Gopirana Vallabha Girivaradhari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Nrsingadev, Jaya Nrsingadev, Nrsingadev, Jaya Nrsingadev.
Translation. O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the previous verse, Srila Shukadev Goswami has described how the foolish, materially attached men are wasting their valuable time in the improvement of the material conditions of life by sleeping, indulging in sex life, developing economic conditions, and maintaining a band of relatives who are to be vanquished in the air of O oblivion. Let me just read the previous two verses. It says, those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society, O Emperor. The lifetimes of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. Therefore, Tasma Bharata, one who actually desires to be free from all misery. So Prabhupada continues, being engaged in all these materialistic activities, the living soul entangles himself in the cycle of the law of fruitive activities. This entails the chain of birth and death in the 8,400,000 species of life, the aquatics, the vegetables, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the uncivilized man, and then again the human form, which is the chance for getting out of the cycle of fruitive action. Therefore, if one desires freedom from this vicious circle, then one must cease to act as a karmi, or enjoyer of the results of one's own work, good or bad. One should not do anything, either good or bad, on his own account, but must execute everything on behalf of the Supreme Lord, the ultimate proprietor of everything that be. This process of doing work is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita 9:27 also, where instruction is given for the working on the Lord's account. Therefore, one should first of all hear about the Lord. When one is perfectly and scrutinizingly heard, one must glorify his acts and deeds, and thus it will become possible to remember constantly the transcendental nature of the Lord. Hearing about and glorifying the Lord are identical with the transcendental name of the Lord, and by so doing one will be always in the association of the Lord. This brings freedom from all sorts of fear. The Lord is the Super Soul, Paramatma, present in the hearts of all living beings. And thus, by the above hearing and glorifying process, the Lord invites the association of all in his creation. This process of hearing about and glorifying the Lord is applicable for everyone, whoever he may be, and it will lead one to the ultimate success in everything in which one may be engaged by Providence. There are many classes of human beings, the fruitive workers, the empiric philosophers, the mystic yogis, and ultimately the unalloyed devotees. For all of them, one and the same process is applicable for achieving the desired success. Everyone wants to be free from all kinds of fear, and everyone wants the fullest extent of happiness in life. The perfect process for achieving this here and now is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is uttered by such a great authority as Srila Shukadeva Goswami. By hearing about and glorifying the Lord, all a person's activities become molded into spiritual activities, and thus all conceptions of material miseries become completely vanquished.
Anyway, the power of the holy name is unlimited. I was looking for one sloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita where it says there are so many slokas glorifying the holy name that it's impossible to list them all because a book would be too big. But I couldn't find that one. But there are so many slokas. So I'll just point one of them out. In the Bhagavatam, there's another verse in the first canto, chapter 2, that's quite similar. There's so many like this one. Tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan satvatam pati shotavyat kirtitavyascha deyak pujascha nityada. Maybe everybody knows that one. Huh? Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. So all those key words are packed in here. One pointed attention. Ekeha Kuru Nandana. Krishna tells Arjuna that materialists are bahu shakas. They're many branched. Their consciousness is all over the place. But the devotee is Ekeha Kuru Nandana. One fixed on one thing, on Krishna, whatever else he's doing. But he's fixed on Krishna, and he's hearing and chanting and glorifying Krishna. And of course, if we can understand it, when Lord Chaitanya came back from Gaya, where he got initiated, we saw last night the picture, right? Mm-hmm. Of him getting initiated. And he was teaching grammar, but he was just saying everything was the name of Krishna. No matter what he was talking about. So the students were bewildered. At first they thought he'd gone mad, which he did. He did go mad, but it was transcendental madness. When he took the Maha Mantra, he went back to his guru and he said, "What is this mantra you gave me?" And had gone mad. Can't stop chanting. He said, "That's good. That's what's supposed to happen." So we're working on that. So this is one sloka that is a very wonderful sloka from the Ankta Lila, chapter 1, text number 99. And this sloka was written by Rupa Goswami. He was writing, when he was first come to be with Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri. And he was writing something, and Lord Chaitanya came and he wanted to see, you know, what he was writing. And Rupa Goswami was humble and shy or embarrassed or something, so he kept trying to keep it away from the Lord. But finally, Lord Chaitanya snatched up his leaf or whatever he was writing on, and he read this sloka, Tunde Tundavali Ratim Vyatatune Tundavali Labdaye Karna Kroda Kadambini Gatayate Karnar Budebyo Spriham Chetak Prangana Sangini Vishayate Sarvindriyanam Kritim No Jane Janita Kiyad Biramritai Krishneti Varna Dwai. So Lord Chaitanya was so happy, he loved that verse. He was glorifying Rupa Goswami like on anything. Then later, he made him read it again in front of everybody. And Rupa Goswami was like a new bhakta at the time in that group, Advaita and Sarvabhauma and Haridas Thakur and all the intimate associates, lifetime associates of Lord Chaitanya. But he made Rupa Goswami read that verse again, and everybody was in ecstasy. And they were dancing like crazy, and everybody said, "We know, have heard so many slokas glorifying the holy name, but never one like this. Never one so nice like this one." So you know the translation? Everybody knows it, actually. You just don't
want to hear it again.
Yeah, you just don't know the Sanskrit. So I don't know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Krishneti Varna Dwayi, these two syllables, Krishna. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. Prabhupada told us that, and that was a common comment we heard when I first joined all the time, that when you chant, Krishna is dancing on your tongue. You mentioned that yesterday, Ravinder Sarup. I don't hear it so much anymore, but Krishna is there. So that's why we want to be very respectful when we're chanting and very attentive. And then when we desire to have many, many mouths, because one mouth doesn't seem like enough to chant the holy name is so wonderful. And when that name enters the holes of the ears, Karna, Krodha, and then we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, through the ear it enters into the heart, that's described in the second canto, then it conquers the activities of the mind. And then the senses become inert. One becomes stunned, in other words. So this verse is it's from the Vidugda Madhava, so Rupa Goswami put it in there. So this is a very nice verse, and we've all heard this many times. I don't know if we have this such a strong desire. I was trying to think, how can you have, you know, millions of ears or millions of tongues? But we could get that by having more devotees in the kirtan. If we go to Mayapur for kirtan and we have 5,000 or 6,000 devotees in the kirtan, we do find it quite energizing. So the holy name, we cannot exaggerate the glories of the holy name. That's one of the offenses, is to think that the glories of the holy name are exaggerated or imaginary. The materialists think, well, you're just like, you know, saying that because you chant. Your religion says you have to chant, so you're trying to say it's so wonderful. You know, you don't really believe that, do you? But just try it. Like he said yesterday, that one way to develop faith is that, you know, you do something and see that it works, and then you get faith and you want to do it more and more. So if we chant, especially if we are able to join these group kirtans and where devotees are, you know, full of ecstasy and enthusiasm for the holy name, then we see how it works. And when we preach and we see new people chanting and how much, you know, people change, like some people change like very immediately. When I was in Johannesburg, they said, Maharaj, when this one Mataji wants to talk to you. So I was thinking, oh, there must be some problem, you know. And she came and she said, she told me she was a drug dealer or something for so many years and always intoxicated. And she chanted, and right away she just gave it all up. And then she was wondering, what should I do now? Just, you know, she stopped all this nonsense activities that was her, not only her addiction, but she was living off of it and everything else, but she just left it all just by chanting. Very quickly that happened. Some people takes a little longer. But we've seen how many lives are transformed, you know, just by chanting the holy name of Krishna all over the world, how many, all of us, and how many Jagais and Madais have been rescued. Lord Chaitanya put all stress simply on chanting. Whenever he met the public, almost everybody, he just said, just chant the holy name. And one time, Lord Chaitanya inquired from Haridas Thakur, you know, how can the Yavanas be saved? You know, there, he was worried. He said, most people in Kali Yuga don't have any Vedic culture, and they're called Yavanas. And they're all sinful. And they're only busy killing cows and trying to knock out the Brahminical culture. Whatever is left of the Brahminical culture, you know, they're trying to make tax on religion or stop the preaching of religion. So Lord Chaitanya was inquiring, how can they be delivered? He said, Lord Chaitanya said, I can't see any way that these Yavanas will be delivered. So he was inquiring from Haridas Thakur. So Haridas said, don't be in anxiety. And do not be unhappy to see these Yavanas in material existence. I'm just reading to make sure I get it all right, but he said, because the Yavanas are accustomed to saying, Ha Rama, Ha Rama, O my Lord Ram, they will be easily delivered by this Nama Basa. Now he's talking about a particular class of Yavanas, the Islam people, they say that, Ha Rama. You know what that means in Arabic? Abominable, yeah, horrible. So the story is that there was one Yavana and he was being killed by a wild boar. Very, you know, these animals. The picture he showed of Lord Chaitanya in the Jarikanda forest, it showed some of these wild boars with so many teeth. They have. Sometimes they're very vicious. And he was being killed, so for Islam, the pig is abominable. They don't eat pork, so that's some, you know, intelligence. So he was going, Harama, Harama, Harama! And he was killed, and then the Vishnudutas came and took him away because he was chanting the name of Rama. He got the credit of chanting Haram, Hariram. One time, in the airport in Philadelphia, and we were distributing books, and one devotee tried to give the Srimad Bhagavatam to one Islam man, and he was pushing it away and saying, Haram! Haram! So the devotee kept saying, what was that? Did you say Haram? And he went, Haram! So many times, it was very funny. He didn't take the book, but at least he was chanting. So he's saying how fortunate they are to be chanting the name of Ram. So then he describes this Namabasa, that the power of chanting the holy name, even if you're talking about something else, you know, someone just accidentally chants the holy name, the transcendental power is still there. Abasa means like in the morning before the sun comes up and it's light, but the sun has not risen yet. So even that, you know, that just glimpse of the holy name, just a awareness of it, or, you know, he gives so many examples later. Then he talks, you know, a Jamil. And so Prabhupada actually, we find usually the sixth canto, part one, Prabhupada wanted that to be always available for distribution, because he said just by hearing the story of a Jamil, then people will get faith and understand the power of the holy name. You know, how a Jamil was saved by chanting the holy name. And the Yamadutas were bewildered, you know, how can this be? He's so sinful. He said he was the most sinful man in the world. You know, so bad. But just by accidentally chanting, you know, he did remember Narayan, but in the beginning he was just attached to his child. By great fortune he named his child, you know, Narayan. And so he was saved, and he was purified of all, and the Vishnudutas had to explain to the Yamadutas. The Yamadutas had to go back to Yamaraj and try to understand this. So Haridas says that the letters of the holy name are so powerful that even if they're separated, you know, and chanted improperly or, you know, in different ways, they still get benefit. And I'll just read this because it's make sure we get it right. If a devotee once utters the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind or enters his ear, which is a channel of oral reception, that holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage, whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, or properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. This is special mercy. Like the Vedic mantras, you know, that are meant for material gain, that are, you know, specific mantras, they have to be pronounced perfectly. If there's just one error, one little syllable change, then it can change the whole effect of the mantra very drastically, and it'll be like Japanese language. If you get one word wrong, look out. It's very dangerous language to, if you get one word wrong, it can be completely different meaning and you have no idea what you said, and so I have to be careful. But chanting the holy name is so powerful, and it's personal. Krishna's, you know, knows the heart of the chanter. So just like if your child is trying to talk, but he gets things wrong, actually parents like that and take great pleasure in that. So Krishna takes great pleasure in our effort. But what we need is attitude, of course, to get the ultimate benefit. The devotional attitude that we're actually crying out for Krishna's service. So he says it's so great that even if one uses the vibration for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth or followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism, in other words, if one utters a name with offenses, such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. So one should avoid offenses. But then if one just accidentally chants, or, you know, they can get benefit. But offenseless chanting is always stressed. That's, I'll always finish up. All right, we got a meeting. All right. So anyway, there's no limit to the powers of the holy name. It says by one utterance of the holy name, one can be freed from all sinful, karma that he's collected over many, many lifetimes. So we're very fortunate that we have Lord Chaitanya's movement. We have the holy name. We have all these kirtans all over the world. We have this. We don't need any more than the holy name. We just need to take it and chant constantly with one pointed attention, everywhere and anywhere, and all these things. All right, sorry I go too long. Usually I try to be short, and then everyone else goes long.
Inspiration.
So, anyway, I'm sure we'll hear much more. Satchinandan Swami has written a nice book about the holy name. There's so many books about it. All the books, that's what all the Bhagavatam is about, the holy name. Special mercy in Kali Yuga also, that the holy name alone can give you all benedictions. Harinam Sankirtanaki. Harinama Harinama Harinami Bhakevalam. Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata.
I would all request you to come with me to Navadvip. It's early in the morning. The residents of Sridham Mayapur have come before the house of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted them. The devotees of the Lord had not come with empty hands. They have brought gifts of bananas, ghee, and yogurt. And they had brought attractive flower garlands. And they are now standing lovingly before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, these devotees were all very fortunate souls. Vrindavan Das Thakur says they had accompanied the Lord throughout his many incarnations, not just one, but they were there in Krishna Leela. Some of them were there in all kinds of other divine Leelas which the Lord had performed in his many, many incarnations. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at his devotees and he blessed them. And it's very nice to hear what the Lord said in this situation to his devotees. Lord Chaitanya said, "May you all attain devotional service to Krishna. Do not speak about anything other than the names and qualities of Krishna." This is very much like this instruction here in the Bhagavatam. Where it is said that yes, one who desires to be free from all miseries, do you want to be in miseries or do you want to be out of miseries, my dear devotees? out. Yours, but okay. Then you must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forbade his devotees to do anything else than doing this. He said, do not speak about anything other than the names and qualities of Krishna. And then the Lord personally instructed everyone, hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and be happy. Sometimes devotees have challenged is maybe not the word, inquired, can you show us only one reference in the scriptures where the Hare Krishna Mantra is given as we chant it today. You will not find the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra mentioned one time in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How can we say that Mahaprabhu chanted it? The reference of the whole mantra is there in the scriptures. Those of you who ever encounter this, or maybe you are have to give a lecture before people who listen with their intelligence switched on, then you can refer them to Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Lila, 23rd chapter, text 76. So the Lord personally instructed the Navadvipvasis to chant this mantra. You all know it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Mahaprabhu said, this is the Maha Mantra. All of you go and chant this mantra according to a prescribed number. In other words, he said, you must fix up a number and chant with numerical strength. You must have that strength of the number. This is the path of the chanting with observing the rules and regulations. Then Mahaprabhu goes one step further. He says, Iya hoite sarva siti hoibe sabhar sarvakshana bhala ite vidi nahi ar. By doing so, everyone will attain all perfection. Always chant, there is no other prescription. So the word here in Bengali is sarva siddhi. You will get all perfections. What do you think is the perfection of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? I think it is, it is chanting with love. Prema is described to be the goal of Mahaprabhu's presentation. So the devotees start with doing it according to rules and regulations. They fix up a number, and no matter what, they do the japa, and this will bring them slowly to the point of perfecting their japa, where they chant their rounds, but no longer on the path of only rules and regulations, where they are automatic maybe, but they chant it with love of Krishna. They do it like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says how a devotee must learn to chant. Our Kavi Chandra Maharaj has given a very nice illustration of Ajamil. Ajamil chanted just somehow. He really didn't think of Lord Krishna. He thought of his son. He was not there He was looking at his son. We as devotees of the Hare Krishna mantra should not chant like this. We should not chant only with a sense of duty, because we made the promise that I have to chant. We have to cultivate a certain quality in our chanting. We should do it lovingly, with Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, with affectionate respect. And Prabhupada, he said on this subject matter, he picked up this point, mantra means with priti, with love. That's very, very important. See, once in Vaishnavism was a very, very strong spiritual force in India, which also made kings their following. There was one particular kingdom, it was the kingdom of Vishnupura, where there was one king, he had a very nice name, Gopal Singh. Gopal Singh means the lion, Gopal the lion. He was a strong king, and he had heard, he was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he had heard that Mahaprabhu had ordered in Puri that everyone who wants to offer him a meal must chant 64 rounds a day. He had heard this. And he thought, I am a devotee of the Lord, and I want that in my kingdom everyone is a devotee of the Lord and offers the foods to Gonitai, and the Gonitai will not eat without, if someone doesn't chant 64 rounds. So he made the order, it's a historical order, that everyone in the kingdom must chant 64 rounds every single day. Now imagine a farmer. He has to get up in a totally unhuman time, like 3 o'clock in the morning, get his everything ready, and then before it gets hot in the summer, he has to do his field work, and he's out there all day on the farm, and then maybe he had time in between before he started to chant his first batch of 8 rounds. Then he comes home, and on that day he has to still complete 64 rounds minus 8. Who is a good person who calculates? This is maybe 56 rounds in the evening. I think we can sympathize with him that he was not entirely enthusiastic to do this, 64 rounds, 56 rounds in the evening. He was, but if he wouldn't chant, he would be thrown out of the kingdom. He would lose first he would get criticized, then the king had his way to exert his pressure. So since that time, there is something in the folklore of Bengal. They say rounds should not be chanted with a Gopal Singh force. You feel chant under a tremendous pressure. Chanting. Where you just think, I hope I won't get lynched, is not the way the japa is to be chanted. You must have another motivation, and that is you must chant. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives this very, very nice, with affection, he gives this very nice thing. While chanting japa, remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. Japakale manake ekagra bhave laochite. This is this affectionate respect. And this affectionate respect will come if you if you also learn more about Krishna, if you read who's the person whose name I'm chanting, if you preach his, glorify his activities, and so on. You must, if you wish to have an affectionate feeling for Krishna, it's very, very important to cultivate this in a regular way by hearing a lot about Krishna, hearing lectures of Krishna, trying to remember Krishna throughout the day, chanting also his name, singing it, and so on. So that when you do your japa, you can bring some gratitude, some feeling of affection, a mood of love, a mood of appreciation at least, and so on. That is better than doing the Gopal Singh way, you know, and so on. By chanting japa, remember Krishna's name with affectionate respect. The second tip is concentrate the mind on the chanting alone. The third tip is be pure in your mind and avoid speaking uselessly. My dear devotee, someone who wants to chant knows I must have the cooperation with my mind. And my mind will be always agitated if I speak Parajalpa throughout the day. Do you know what is the versus type of Parajalpa? To criticize others. Oh, did you see him? This spineless tongue will always like such Parajalpa. So, and will make tongue will say, "Let us make some politics, please." If you criticize and make politics, you really ruin your mind. It won't be pure. It will be just thinking about the agitational political discussion, and so on and so forth. Devotees who want to concentrate on the holy name avoid politics and especially the prajalpa of criticizing others. They avoid it like aggressively smelling stool. They just don't want anything with this because it just takes all makes a problem to the mind, and then you can't concentrate. It will be all this talk will revolt in the mind. Then the next tip is contemplate the mantra's meaning. You know, what does it mean? You are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What does it mean? What are you expressing? What is your mood while you do this? Prabhupada says it very simple. Please engage me in your service. Or, my Lord, please accept me. Govinda, when you chant, you are actually praying, my Lord, please accept me. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur's final tip is remain patient. So I will end here. 20 minutes is actually a very small amount of time to express Prabhupada's Prabhupada's lectures are 20 or 25 minutes. He was extremely concentrated. So my point here is, as you do your japa chanting, do it with affectionate respect. You know, that will give you the japa life. You know, that will give it spirit to think of Lord Krishna by meditating about the meaning of the mantra that, oh, please accept me in your service. Otherwise, if you just do it so regularly, you know, out of, I must do this, I must get this over, otherwise I don't get any breakfast, and so on, then said, it will not enliven you. And the holy name is also absolutely not enlivened by your japa. Krishna will not come to such a chanter. He will just have that's a long subject what he gets, but it's not the real thing. Okay, so we will now respect the time, or as one of my Indian friends says, when we give lectures together and I become impatient with him because he's already 1 hour over time, he says, time is also there.
And we will.
You must.
This is somebody sent this on. It's a recording from Prabhupada, part of a morning walk.
Oh yeah, wonderful.
Somebody called it the way to chant. It's quite relevant.
It's very difficult to control my mind when I chant.
What is he controlling a mind? You have to chant and hear, that's all. You have to chant with your tongue and the sound you hear, that's all. What is the question of mind?
This is Srila Prabhupada. It's wonderful. So the body is all mental. Well, what do I do with my mind? Why is the question of the mind? Just hear and chant.
Vanchikalpa trubhyascha kripasindeva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I think almost all devotees have this experience that when they first began Krishna consciousness and chanting Hare Krishna, they make a tremendous amount of spiritual advancement very quickly. They become extremely enlivened. Kirtan is wonderful. They have a real taste for Krishna consciousness. They feel ecstatic symptoms. And then it goes away. They go down. Sometimes just after they get initiated. This is common enough that there's an explanation for it that is usually given. And the explanation is that in the beginning, Krishna gives you some extra special mercy. And just by that special mercy, you get some preliminary taste for Krishna consciousness, but then you have to work on it on your own. This, I don't think this is exactly wrong, but I think it's imprecise. The special mercy is there because in the beginning, our chanting was namabhasa. Because when we come to the beginning of the Krishna consciousness movement, we say if you just chant like Ajamil, you chant with some other thing in mind, or like the Muslim, you chant meaning something else, or you chant accidentally. That's one form of namabhasa. It's not pure, but it's not exactly offensive. So because it's not offensive, it's namabhasa, and namabhasa chanting destroys all sinful reactions. And so this is what happens. So what happens is that we come to the temple, and for example, we're new, and we think all the devotees are advanced souls. We think they're really wonderful, all of them. Then we get to know them. And have to live with them. And we, so in the beginning there was no, because we are foolish and ignorant, there was no Vaishnava aparad. But then we get a little, taste of, some of the realities. Then, very easy to commit Vaishnava aparad. And if we're not really, really careful, our chanting now becomes offensive because we're committing it Vaishnava aparad and not avoiding it. You see, to be chanting, and have it at least be namabhasa. It's not that we have to be pure or free from offenses, but we have to be trying to become free from offenses. Prabhupada remarks these three stages. I'll just read you a little quotation here. He says like this. This is in a Srimad Bhagavatam class in Hawaii in 74. There are three stages of chanting. One chanting is with offense beginning. There are 10 kinds of offenses we have described many times. If we chant with offense, that is one stage. If we chant offenseless, that is one stage. And we chant pure, and then he backtracks a little bit. Offenseless is not yet pure. Now he's describing this namabhasa, or the clearing stage. You're trying to make offenseless, but not yet offenseless. This is the clearing stage. But when there is pure chanting, that is success. Nam, namabhasa, and shuddhanam. So there's three things. When there's offenses, then what's manifest is usually called nam aparad. Then we're trying to become free of offenses, then that's nam abhasa, and then pure, then that's the shuddhanam. In the beginning, there may be offenses, but if we try to avoid the offenses, then it is nam abhasa. Nam abhasa means not actually pure name, but almost pure. When one chants shuddhanam, holy name of God, pure name, then he's on the platform of loving, platform of Krishna, that is perfectional stage. And in namabhasa stage, not impure, marginal between pure and offensive, that is mukti. Now, the fruit of namabhasa is liberation, whereas the fruit of pure chanting is Krishna prema. So this way Prabhupada has described these three stages. So if we're not very careful in the beginning and not trying to become free from offenses, then our chanting becomes offensive. It's in the beginning we come to Krishna consciousness. We don't even know who the spiritual master is. It doesn't become an issue disobeying his order because we haven't heard it. But then we also understand the order of the spiritual master. Then comes the opportunity for an offense against the holy name. So if we want the potencies of the holy name to be manifest, the potencies begin manifest in this namabhasa stage. As Kavi Chandra Maharaj says, this is like when the abhasa in Sanskrit means the projection of light into darkness, like a ray of light going into the darkness, or a reflection of light in darkness is abhasa. So Haridas Thakur's example is that the sun is below the horizon, but the dawning light of the sun is in the sky. This dawning twilight is namabhasa. And he points out that at that time, the forest becomes safe because that dawning light in the morning, the wild animals go back to their caves, and the robbers and the thieves go back to their hideouts, and the Buddhas, Prechas, Pistulas, the diabolical living entities, they also disappear. We all saw the movie Dracula has to go back to his coffin, and the werewolf turns back into a human being, and so on. So the dawning light makes the forest safe, so that this namabhasa destroys sinful reactions and brings one to mukti. So this is when there's people are chanting for years and years and years and nothing is happening. We've heard this complaint. They become discouraged. They say, what's wrong with the process? What's wrong with the gurus? What's wrong with the GBC? What's wrong with ISKCON? Because nothing is happening. You have to look for the fact that if nothing, if we're chanting and nothing is happening, then we're on the offensive stage. Offensive stage, remember, means that we are committing offenses and we are not doing anything about it. If we are committing offenses and trying to become free, then that namabhas will be manifest. So only the effort is required to go from the offensive to the clearing stage. Just the diligent effort. And if we have been on the offensive stage, and we go to the clearing stage, immediately everything starts to change. ISKCON looks better. Scripture becomes interesting. Not the same old thing day after day. Suddenly it's talking to you. I mean, all kinds of transformations take place just by this effort to avoid these offenses. Prabhupada described that when we are chanting and not following the process, that is sadhana. The capsule definition of sadhana is to cultivate the holy name while trying to give up offenses. And if you study the 10 offenses, you'll see that covers about everything wrong that we could do. Like, for example, disregarding the order of the spiritual master. Well, there's a multitude of sins and offenses in that one right there. So we have to cultivate the holy name. Follow the process. Chant while trying to become free from offenses. That is the process. If we chant without trying to follow the process, well, Prabhupada compared this to cooking with smoke. Imagine you're in the morning and you're out camping or something, you're going to make your breakfast. And your fire, the fuel is wet, the wood is wet, and so there's a great deal of smoke. Now, if you're cooking with smoke, that means that one will have to spend a very long time before you're getting one's breakfast. And one will be very inconvenienced, because your eyes will be filled with tears, and you'll be coughing, and your body will become all sooty, and it'll be a long time. So therefore, we should have dry fuel. We should cook with fire. When Prabhupada gave this example, it was in Hawaii and also in Australia, Melbourne. He said that, yes, you can argue where there's smoke, there's fire. But what will that little bit of fire do you? And then he told another story, which we don't have time to repeat. But what that little bit of fire will do you? He says, you can go on cooking with smoke for 300 years. He said, so we should not cook with smoke. We come to this clearing stage of chanting, and we're trying to give up offenses. Then we will see how things will change, and we can go immediately to this stage. We've been urged, as Sachinandan Swami has been telling us, how we should chant with feeling, at least affectionate respect for Krishna. But feeling, you know, how do you make a feeling? it's sometimes not within our willpower to feel something. You feel what you feel. What we can do is show our beginning of our respect for Krishna by paying attention. And so this is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us that if we want to become free from offenses, the first thing we have to deal with is inattentiveness while chanting. We can have some control over our attention. True, it's difficult because the mind keeps wanting to go away, but still, you know, that's a matter of our willpower to bring our attention back to the lotus feet of the holy name when it goes away. So here's the beginning of respect for Krishna. When I'm chanting the holy name, I'm calling him, I'm inviting him. So I now am inviting an important person to my house. This personage is coming. Let's say it's my spiritual master. At a certain appointed time, a spiritual master is coming to my house. Now, when he comes, or whatever important person, I have to be there to pay him attention. Right? I mean, this is only politeness, that when a guest comes, you're there, you greet them, you welcome them, you sit them down, you're comfortable, how are you? So imagine that this person comes, and you're not there. He comes in, anyone there? Oh yeah, I'm in the backyard, I'm staking up the tomato plants. Just a minute. Oh, these are quite rude. This is why it's called an offense. It's a breach of etiquette. So we're inviting Krishna to come into our hearts, to appear in our hearts, and we're not there. We're off, my mind is somewhere else. So that's why it's an offense. So when we try to control the mind, there's the beginning of some respect. That I'm making the effort, there's some respect. And it's the nature of the holy name that just by paying attention, then feelings will come. Because actually, it's the nature of the thing that within attention lie the seeds of love. When you love something, you pay attention. But it also works the other way around. If you can give something enough attention, it will become interesting. this is the difficulty that intellectuals have, that if you pay enough attention to any subject matter, it becomes interesting. You find some book on, say, Polish grammar. If you really look at it, you say, hey, this is interesting. So you can find anything interesting. You have to be careful about that. But the people who are able to look at something like rocks with a great deal of attention, they find it fascinating. They spend their whole life studying rocks or spiders or something like that. That's because everything's part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna is supremely interesting. So if we pay attention to Krishna, some feelings will come. Especially because you're with the Lord directly. It's not indirectly interesting or lovable, but he's directly lovable. And when we pay attention to Krishna, yatam mam prapajyate tam sataiva bhajamyam, then he pays attention to us. He reciprocates with us also. So we have established a active relationship. Anyway, this is within our power to begin this, just to control our attention. That is the beginning of respect to Krishna, and then in a matter of time also feelings will develop. Naturally, we'll have good days and bad days. But when there's regular effort, and even if we have a bad day, the next day we're back on the course. We don't get discouraged and stop. We just keep going like this. Then this process will work. Then we are chanting on the clearing stage, and that is when the potencies of the holy name really become manifest and go to work. So we should understand this, and we should follow the process in this way. Okay, I've used up my time. Thank you very much.
Very much in time.
Can I ask a question from you?
Yes.
Do you have a couple minutes?
I don't know.
I would suggest now that, yes, you will be able to ask your question, Maharaj. I will suggest now that we just have a very brief question and answer session, because many of us are planning to leave in the morning, and there's also an important meeting starting at 10 o'clock, I believe. So let us be very precise. If you allow me, I will... I think 7 minutes is a good time. Yes?
Yeah, just Mike, I think you can answer. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes different kinds of inattentiveness.
Yes.
Can you tell us what they are?
Yeah, there are three kinds of inattentive. Vishwanath Chakravarti and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One is sleep. Falling asleep while chanting. So we have to deal with that one. One thing is to make sure you get enough rest. And the other thing is to not eat too much. And you know, anyway, we won't get into the techniques. But anyway, one is sleep. One is distraction. Your mind goes here and there. And the third is indifference or apathy. This can be manifest even when you're not falling asleep and you're not distracted, but still you're not interested. You kind of really have to force your mind. So there's a kind of higher... So one looks like to me, if I can speculate a little bit, hopefully harmlessly, sleep is inattentiveness in the mode of ignorance. Distraction is inattentiveness in the mode of passion. And indifference is inattentiveness in the mode of goodness, in the sense that it can still be there. So with the indifference in this case, where you're diligent, you're attentive. This is where the issue of feelings should come anyway, but as Maharaj says, there's certain things that we can do, for example, remembering the meaning of the mantra, my Lord, please engage me in your service. We should particularly think we are asking Krishna. We should be like a child crying for the mother. We should please engage me in your service. And why am I spending my time chanting the Hare Krishna mantra? Because I want to be engaged in Krishna's service. If I don't feel like I want to very badly, please, Lord, make me want to. So somewhere we can ask, we can connect with a feeling in connection with Krishna. Because the corollary is please engage me in your services, disengage me from anything that stops me. And if I look and I see what are the things that are stopping me, then it may be this particular attachment or another particular attachment that I'm struggling with. So I should ask Krishna, please take care of that one for me. Please help me get rid of this. And so then you'll see there'll be some feeling, so that we can cry to Krishna like that. Okay.
Yes, Prabhu.
My question is that sometimes I can become absorbed in the Kalyan, even sometimes 2 weeks, really, even some taste is there, and I'm thinking how I was stupid that I was not enthusiastic, like really nice service and everything. And then even we give lectures, like
fire up.
Yeah, fire up. And then just suddenly something happened. I don't know, some pride or what. Then just I lose, and then again for weeks, you know, old me, you know, Hare Krishna. Like, so what happens then? Why this, because I really experienced some taste, you know, just I lost in the one day, you know, everything.
You are very, very open and honest and express something which we all know about. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as far as I have understood him in his work, Madhurya Kadambani, says that there are two types of bhakti. One is the nishtha, and that is a bhakti which is on the platform of steadiness, and then we may not be yet on the platform of Nishtha, and that is called Anishtha Bhakti or unsteady devotional service. And what that means is that, yes, material influence is again there, offenses creep in, you have mentioned pride, which then manifests in certain impossible activities or statements and so on. And then you have to suffer the consequences and so on and so forth. It's really, what you are asking is, how can I come to the platform of nishtha of fixedness? And my dear Vasudev Dada, you remain enthusiastic, remain forbearant and patient. That is, and apply the process, and it will come one day. Really, there are many, many lectures and many tips and so on, where devotees give advices, and they are certainly correct and so on. But you can't cheat your way into the kingdom of God. You must become steady, and you must go through these levels of advancement in Krishna consciousness. But there are two things which I would like to give from my own trick box, you know, because we human beings are, but can't you just, oh, thank you very much. I asked this question. You say, I'm on the platform of Anishtha Bhakti. Is that all you can leave me with? I came with hope to this festival. I paid so much money. And, you know, this is all what I'm getting. and so on. It really helps if from time to time you spend more time with the holy name, and you know, just establish a relationship with the holy name, which shows the Lord that you are not at all indifferent to getting his mercy. You must show something else than indifference. You must show, I really want it. And you must express this desire which you have in your good days in some practical activity. You are going on Sankirtan. That is a very powerful way of expressing one's determination to please Krishna, and Krishna takes notice of that. Just do something where you really move out of your sluggishness and dullness, which we have as sometimes, and just show your eagerness in some practical way, and Krishna will notice it. And when Krishna notices our eagerness, the most important potency for the devotees here in this world is coming from the heart of the Lord, and that's his Kripa Shakti, his mercy. We just show him that we are not indifferent. We want very much to please him. Even if we are unsuccessful, we have, as we say in German language, two left hands. You know, if you just show your some type of eagerness in Krishna consciousness, Krishna's mercy potency will come up, come down to you, Krishna. What a nice question. Yes, your good name, Prabhu?
Chaitanya Chandra
Prabhu, from Denmark, yes.
So we know before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, there was the same Maha Mantra, but it started with Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama.
Yeah.
And it was only, as I understood, for Brahmanas. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he made available to all. everybody. But what is the significance of changing, making it Hare Krishna as we chant it now?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not able to answer this question.
Yeah.
Anyone know?
Prabhupada was asked, you know, somebody came to Prabhupada and said, you know, they're chanting Hare Krishna, but they start chanting with Hare Rama. I said, that doesn't make any difference. They're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So he didn't think it was so important. The fact that people were chanting it the other way around. I have heard, but I don't remember from whom, that because it's given in the Upanishads with the Hare Ram first, therefore it's an Upanishadic mantra and can only be chanted by Brahmanas. If you turn it around, then anybody can chant it. But I can't remember where this comes from.
Many people say that, but we tried to find any evidence.
You couldn't find it anywhere, yeah. So maybe just a rumor.
In that Swetasvara Upanishad, it says Hare Krishna.
Yeah, that's right.
Different, you know, sometimes it's one way, sometimes it's the other way.
Yeah.
And if you keep chanting, who cares where you started? It's like somebody saying you have to start on the big bead or something, you know.
Oh, yeah, if you start with the big and go to the...
start on the big bead, otherwise...
You know, some people chant japa, some people go this way, and some people go this way, too.
I don't see Prabhupada, I never really
get it. Yeah, right. We didn't shed light on that question.
there are so many nice devotees still. I mean, everyone is nice, but I don't think we should now start. Let us say, Param Shreya will ask this question, Robert and Eva. It becomes a little longer, but we will be this will be the flashlight answers from us. Yes, Param Shreya. This is definitely a question for our scientist.
As far as it says in the list of the fence, api pramadaha means pramadaha literally means insanity. When people are sane, sometimes in English you say they're distracted, they're in their minds, you know, it's insanity. So the ultimate, the not paying attention means not paying attention to Krishna, which if you look at all the other offenses, they are just different ways of not paying attention to Krishna. And so that's just the condition of being in Maya in general. And so when we say inattentiveness while chanting, we're naturally the place to deal with this is japa. But actually we should pay attention also in kirtan. And since we should be chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, as Prabhupada says, 16 rounds on the beads and innumerable rounds off the beads, when we're not chanting Hare Krishna anytime, that's inattentiveness. It's the ultimate form of negligence of Krishna. So we should actually be paying attention all the time. If we should always be chanting, we should always be paying attention to Krishna. And that's what Krishna consciousness is, right? Always conscious of Krishna. So that's how I see it. It's just the foundation, and every other sin and offense is a manifestation of not thinking or not paying attention to Krishna. Lack of Krishna consciousness. Right.
When we say pure chanting, we mean there's no offenses.
The shuddhanam is revealed. Then the intermediate stage, the clearing stage, there are offenses, but trying to become not offensive. If you look at what Prabhupada calls us, sometimes he says almost offensive, offenseless chanting, or one place he calls it offenseless but not pure. But what it means is there are still offenses, but because we're trying to become free from the offenses, that's a kind of offenselessness in itself. So that's the intermediate stage.
Wouldn't pure also mean like he's talking about that you have the love?
And yeah, that's shuddhanam, pure chant. There are no offenses. That just
love for Krishna.
Yeah, right. Then Krishna himself is manifest. Krishna, your no Krishna's presence, right?